We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow successful, profitable and purposeful, handmade, creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every single morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren. Hi everybody and welcome to this week's episode of Handmade Business Podcast. So today Lindsay and I have decided to do a little bit of a different kind of style of episode, and we are going to give you the 10 things, the 10 pointers that we think in order are most important to the buyer. So the reason that we kind of came up with this was if we were going to go and search for, let's say we're going to buy a gift for somebody, what are the things that we literally look for that make us click on the item and then stay on the page and then go to purchase the item? And so we've organized those pointers into the top 10, basically, in order. So, firstly, hi Lindsay.
Hi Anna. I have to say I'm really excited about this episode, but I have to give you the full credit that this approach to this topic was your idea, and I think it's a really good one. Because when I was thinking about preparing for the podcast, I was very much thinking about coming from the seller's perspective, but actually when you do this from the buyer's perspective, you wear a different pair of glasses, so to speak, and you do, you know, for me it's been quite insightful, you know, just chatting it through the content we were going to cover. So, you know, I'm really excited for this episode.
And it is actually really interesting, because when you think about yourself as the seller, you can kind of be a bit, what's the word, when you're not blindsided, but you've just seen it from a different angle, aren't you? When you're looking at it from a buyer, then you can maybe see gaps and things that you weren't looking at, because you've literally come to the other side of the shop. Instead of standing inside the shop and looking outside, you're on the street looking into the shop front, looking inside, and yeah, you might not necessarily do that because you're behind the glass on the other side. So yeah,
definitely.
Okay then, so without further ado, excuse the fact that I'm a bit bunged up, I hope that my voice doesn't put you all off. So without further ado, the first thing that we've said is photo one. So literally the first photo that will appear in search, whether or not that's an Etsy search, a Google search, Pinterest search, it's literally the first photograph that you will see. Now, I personally think that is the most important thing, because it's the thing that's going to stand out. It's the thing that's going to catch your eye. It's going to make you want to click if you're going to click through. So do you agree with that, Lindsay?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, Anna. And I was thinking, like, you know, what are the things when I see a photo that draw my eye in? So for me, it's, you know, a nice sharp photo, something that's well lit. And I actually really like seeing products that are really nicely styled. You know, that doesn't mean they have to be really busy, but like for me, it just makes, especially if we're looking at, I'm looking at handmade products, when there's a photo that's been nicely styled, for me it just says this is someone that's a real professional. You know, they're taking real pride in their products. You know, for me it can really take it to the next level rather than just perhaps seeing just the product, if you know what I mean. Just see, you know, that extra start, the effort that's gone into the styling, for me can just really draw my eye in.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, well lit, well styled, but definitely agree with the not too busy. You don't want to have, you know, everything from your shop or, you know, 7 billion props all stuffed in. I'm not saying that you can't have some kind of, whether it's foliage that's incorporated into your brand or just a coloured background. You know, you don't have to have a white background. You could position something on a coloured piece of card. But yes, well lit, well styled, and I want to use the word obvious, because if I've typed in something and I look at this photograph and it might look really nice, but is it obvious to me that it matches the search query that I've typed in? So yeah, really, really make sure that the item is purposefully sold in that picture. You know, yeah, when you look at it straight away, bang, that's what it is. That's what I'm buying from that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
So yeah, so that's photo one. So now we're still in the search query, we're still in the search results, but the next thing that I personally will always look at is the price, because you're going to have a rough estimate of what you believe the price of that item could be. Don't get me wrong, there's going to be outliers to that. There might be something that's particularly more expensive or cheaper. But you don't want to be, when you are pricing your items or when you're looking at that price, you don't want the price to be way too expensive that you think, oh my word, that wasn't at all what I was, you know, budgeting for. And I'm not exactly sure why it should be that price. But you also, on the flip side, you don't want to look at it and go, why is that so cheap? Why is that so, like, no, that doesn't make sense to me. So would you agree with that? That would be the next thing that you would look at, and yeah, for those reasons.
Yeah, I definitely would. And you know, that's where we, as a buyer, we start doing that evaluation, don't we? So, you know, like you say, you know, if things are too high compared to everything else, you know, that's coming up in that search, I would be questioning, well, what's so good about that particular product compared to a cheaper version? But definitely as well, if it was really cheap, I know personally I would question the price. Probably being a handmade business owner myself, I would be like, well, I'll be honest, the first thing it always springs to mind, if I see a product that's really cheap that I know should be, you know, priced better, first of all, it would be the quality. Then I would feel really bad that handmade seller wasn't valuing their talents, you know. And then it does just sort of get you, sometimes it can make you question the business as a whole. You know, like, where's this person at with their business? If this price is really cheap, is this just a bit of a hobby?
Yeah, exactly. And that might put you off flicking through. So then number three would be the first few words, that truncated sentence that you're going to see when the search query comes up on whichever platform you're looking at. Does that, and now when I say match, I don't mean identically match, maybe necessarily, the search query I've put in, but it's the same with what's in the photograph. Is it obvious? Is it obvious, looking at those truncated few words of that sentence, obvious to me that I'm looking at the item that I am trying to find? That sounds confusing, but it's literally, you know, if I've put in pendant and the word says necklace, that's fine. It's still obvious to me that I'm looking in the ballpark of the same thing. If I've typed in Mother's Day gift and it says Mother's Day present, that's fine. It's in the ballpark. But it needs to be very obvious to me that I have found the item that I am looking for. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely would. I think as well, this is, you know, from a seller's perspective, well, and a buyer's, it can be quite hard sometimes to get the right item to come up. Like, for example, obviously I'm a fairy maker, but if you just type in fairy, you'll get every item under the sun with a fairy on it or whatever. You won't just get fairy dolls come up like what mine is. So I realized I couldn't just describe my product as a handmade fairy. I had to have fairy doll in it, because then it would come up in the right kind of searches. So, you know, so I think that's sort of, it is definitely a really important point to bear in mind, that, you know, those first few words are really important.
Yeah. And I think it's also just because it's just popped into my head, I think it's important to note that what we are trying to achieve with this episode is we want you to look outside the box and look at how the buyer will look at your product in search or on your page. We're not going to go through in detail how to do your keywords or how to do your photography. We have episodes for that already, and we also have future episodes coming. Plus, we've also got information on both of our social medias. This is literally about getting you to sit down as a buyer and go, am I doing all those things? Have I got all those things checkboxed off? And I know for a fact that when I speak to sellers, the wording of titles is probably one of the most difficult things, because it's your SEO at the end of the day. It's your...
Sometimes we're so close to our products, we can't see what we're not saying. So I think having this checklist for people just to work through and being aware of, and them themselves starting to look at their products they're selling in a different light, can be a really useful exercise.
And also, just, I think it's important to note that back in the day, when I first started on Etsy, you could type in the name of your product, or, you know, a ballpark of your product, and you could find yourself in search. And you could literally know exactly what page, what line, what section of that page you were going to appear on every single time, because the algorithm page, the search results were static. They didn't move. Then when they bought Blackbird Technologies, which is the kind of the learning algorithm technology. This is Etsy, by the way, that I'm talking about specifically. But I know a lot of you guys that listen in are Etsy sellers, so it will be appropriate for you. When they bought Blackbird, the whole algorithm changed. So never think that you can just go and search for your item, and if you do not appear on the first page, that necessarily means that you won't appear for somebody else. Because what Blackbird actually does is it learns the behavior of the buyer, and it takes into consideration, yes, the buyer and their previous searches, in fact, their entire phone history, which is slightly scary, but that's just the way it is, guys. And also the location of that person, the time of day, the weather. I mean, it just takes into consideration so many things. So don't get put off if you go searching for your item and you don't appear straight away. The algorithm just might not see you as being relevant for that particular item, but it will match up with your buyer, the person who is right for you. So yeah, just wanted to note that. Because I know that I've seen people write in forums and say, I can't find my items, but I'm still getting sales. I just can't find them. Like, don't even worry about the fact that you can't find them. Focus on the fact that you're getting sales. And if you're not getting sales, here's a checklist to go through to make sure you're doing all the things. So number four would be, now we've clicked through. We've found the item in search. The photo was right, the price was right, the words were right. Now we've clicked through. And Lindsay, what's number four?
It's photos 2 to 10. So, you know, if you've got an Etsy store, you can have up to 10 photos. Obviously, if you've got a website, you know, you might have a different limit on photos. But this is where the buyer is doing their research. You know, you've pulled us in with photo one. You know, we looked at the price. Now we want to find out, you know, we want to find out more about that product. So, you know, think about what extra information, I would say, that you're sharing in those photos 2 to 10. Would you agree, Anna?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's talking about angles, or if you need to show a close up onto something. I mean, I have different options of lengths or stones, depending on which item it is, or charms that can be included. So I have a photograph that lists all the different personalization options. I have a photo for branding, you know, so you can see the packaging that the product arrives in. There's loads of ways that you can adapt your photographs from 2 to 10, or depending on how many you use, depending on what platform you are on. But yeah, it's the next step that personally as a buyer I look at, because I want to see that item in more detail, because I can't physically hold it. Yeah, so you need to give me that.
Yeah, I think as well, like you mentioned the packaging, and for me that's something that's really important, because for me I have like handmade gift boxes, you know, and they can be personalized or not, so I tend to show the box personalized and not personalized, and for me that, I think that really helps my, well, I'd like to think it helps my buyers, because they can see the different options, and there's kind of examples of wording, you know, because my wording is like in a circular format, so they can instantly see examples of what that wording would look like. And I'm trying to, and I know you do the same, Anna, you know, we're creating a really lovely special gift, and that packaging, you know, all, you know, is what's informing a buyer whether that's the right thing for them.
Yeah. And you know, all that, again, adding to the fact that we can't hold these things in our hands.
Yes.
So we need to be able to give all the information in the photographs. And as much as we would like, and we do have the description listed on our top 10, but it isn't high at the top. It's in the middle, but the description is not going to be the most important thing. It's the photographs. That's how you sell your item.
Yeah.
Mega important. And we have an entire episode about photography. So go back and I will link it in the show notes. Go back and listen to that. So then moving on to number 5, reviews. So if you sell on Etsy, you will know that over the summer, Star Seller was introduced. And I think we should possibly do an entire episode about Star Seller, the Star Seller program. But one of the most important things in Star Seller is your reviews. And that is because Etsy and every other platform on the planet appreciates the importance of your reviews. It's definitely important to me. It's definitely something that I go and look at. And because we are listing them in order, you can see just how important the reviews that people have left are. Now, don't really think we should be going down the road of how to get reviews and stuff, because I feel like that's more of a niche tutorial of that. And if we need to do that in a future episode, we can. We've also done an Etsy episode in the past. Again, I will link that in the show notes. But yeah, Lindsay, do you agree? Reviews, like, totally mega important.
They are really important. I think, you know, I do like to, if I'm thinking about purchasing something, I do enjoy seeing reviews. I think sometimes, though, we do have to bear in mind that, you know, like just recently, I got my first 4-star review, yet the person had written, so, and this was for my fairy kits, really lovely kit, but they'd still only given me 4 stars. So, you know, she'd written a really lovely thing, but then I'd got 4 stars. So I was quite, you know, but that has stopped me getting a Star Seller. So it is mega important. So, you know, I do like to look at other people's, but what I would say is have a look at a good range. Don't just take the first 2 or 3, you know, have a good look and see, does this person consistently get good reviews? Because sometimes it can just be one person's opinion, you know, that otherwise, if you're taking that one person's too seriously, it could stop you buying and affect that seller, really. And do you agree with that, Anna?
I do. And I think that reviews is like this double-edged sword.
Because
as a seller myself, I know that people can leave reviews that are, like, as you say, 4-star, but they've written a really nice thing and it's a bit confusing. So, yeah. But then also, I know that people can leave really low star reviews and it's actually not been something that's been anything in my control. Mm. So there was literally nothing I could do about that review because it wasn't to do with me. It might be to do with shipping or, you know, the pandemic. It's not my fault. So there's that side. But then also at the same time, as a buyer, I do find them important because I want to understand. And I think as well, I look at the responses. You know, if somebody's left a particularly, so if you get on Etsy, if you leave a 3, 2, or 1-star review, you're allowed to respond as the seller. So if somebody's left a 3, 2, or 1-star, I'm also interested in the way in which the seller has responded to that person. Like, have they been abrupt and rude, or have they been professional and explain the situation and offered the other side to the story? I'm really interested in that as well. But I mean, there's always opportunities. And like you say, we don't need to go down the reviews. We should probably do an entire episode about, you know, Star Seller and reviews and things like that. But there are ways to alter reviews. If somebody's left you something that's not a 5-star, you can definitely turn that around. So we should definitely do an episode about that in the future. But yeah, reviews important because you want to understand the experience that somebody else has had. and they've purchased. But as a seller, don't allow it to consume you, because other buyers are also sellers and they understand. So yeah, double-edged sword as reviews.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that.
So yeah. Right. So moving on to number six. So we've got all the way down to number six. We've mentioned descriptions.
Yes.
You know, that just shows how it is important, because it's in the top 10. But there's other things that come before the description. Now, personally, if I go to the description, it's not because I want to read, what is it, War and Peace, you know, like a whole big long thing. Doesn't mean that you can't put that information in for the people that might want to read all of that information. But for me personally, I might just want to go to the description to look for measurements.
Yeah.
Or if I can personalize or something like that. What do you usually go to the description for, Lindsay?
I would say the same. I might want to find out a little bit more what is something made out of or things like that. I think as well, like, you know, I know we are looking at this from a buyer's perspective, but from a seller's perspective, it is important to remember that, you know, some research I heard recently was that people scan read and they only read about 20%. So for me, I like to see a description that is bullet points, easy to get to, or with titles, it's easy to get and see the information I want. Because, you know, when we are buying products, we might be, you know, doing some research, and I won't necessarily just look at one person's, you know, I might be looking at a range of different sellers. So having that description that is really clear, really easy to read for me, you know, as a buyer, does make that process a lot easier and makes me make up my mind quicker. Would you agree with that, Anna?
Yeah, I think have all the information in there, but don't expect that it's all going to be read.
No, definitely.
So, yeah, 20%, wow, that's not very much, is it?
No, no, and that's what we all tend to do these days.
Yeah, I completely agree. I definitely do that. So yeah, moving on to number seven then, the shipping. Now, we've split this into two. So there's the shipping and then also the dispatch time, but that's going to come further on. So the shipping would be, once it has left the seller's hands, how long is it going to take, roughly estimated? We can't guarantee, especially in the current times, how long estimated is it going to take to get to me? And by this point, I have added, or I am adding, the item into my basket. So from points one to six, they've all been ticked and I'm happy with everything. And now I'm on to the shipping. Now, obviously, you can't help where you live. So if it's going to take a long time to get to me because you're in another country, I'm probably not going to be put off because I really want that item. But as a seller, just be aware that it is something that buyers look at. And there's no point putting our heads in the sand and acting as if it doesn't matter. It does matter. And, you know, certain things that have happened this year with European Union and us having to put on EORI codes and all the different codes on customs, that's affected customs. And it's affected the business that some of us in England or, you know, in the UK might, our European orders might have dropped. Because the Europeans are in the know that it's going to take a lot longer for the things to ship to them because it's going to go through this different customs schedule. So, yeah, something to think about there. Does shipping put you off, Lindsay?
I suppose one of the things for me, if I'm buying handmade, I like to see whether something is in stock or not, or whether I'm waiting for that item to be made. You know, recently this year I bought a few, like I bought some personalized wedding cards, you know, I different things that I've been and bought. You know, I'm one of the things I'm looking at, you know, is how long will it be, you know, am I waiting? As I mean, obviously we'll cover this in the dispatch time, but you know, that is a factor for me. How quickly is it, you know, going to be sent? Has this item got to be made yet? So that is something that shipping is very important. I mean, thing is as well, in an ideal world, we'd all be organised with buying gifts weeks beforehand. But, you know, life isn't always like that when it's busy. So, you know, there will be times when you're looking to buy a gift and you might need to get it in a few days. So having that relevant information, I'd say, is, you know, for me as a buyer, it's important. But it's also important to share that information with your customers as well.
Yeah. And I think that if you are somebody that leaves gifts till the last minute, which I can definitely be guilty of.
I think we all can at times, can't we?
Absolutely. But I can't be disheartened as a buyer that I'm going to have to wait for my item to come because I've left it till the last minute.
Yeah.
And as sellers, that can be a bit annoying sometimes. In fact, I saw... I might just see if I can get it up. No, I can't. I saw a thing on it on Small Biz Memes this morning on this exact topic. In fact, let me just see if I can get it up and then I can read it. And I thought it sums up exactly what we've just said perfectly. Okay, so this is a post that Small Biz Memes posted today, and it's the 14th of September if you want to go back and read it yourself. So... they have posted this particular shop that sent this whole conversation into Small Biz Memes. This shop has posted on their Instagram page about Christmas. And obviously, at the moment, it's September. So a person on their account has put, "Posting about Christmas in September is too far. Please stop." And then the shop has very kindly put, "Hi Elaine, as a seasonal business, it's important I start getting orders in early so I'm able to fulfill them in time for Christmas. My page makes it very clear that it's seasonal wreaths only. If you don't wish to see it, you can unfollow me or even hide me so my posts appear lower in your feed. If it's too early for you to be thinking about Christmas right now." And then the person's put, "Why should I need to hide or unfollow you? Just stop posting about it." So obviously, you know, that person is not very happy. But then somebody in the comments put...
I do think that's really funny, actually, because can you imagine that person? You know, I went into the card shop and my sister, you know, at the weekend, well, all the Christmas cards were there. We said, "Oh, the Christmas cards are out." We didn't go, you know, I mean, I'm quite happy to see the Christmas cards there. I'll buy them when I'm ready. But we didn't go and say to the person behind the counter, "Can you put that Christmas stock away?" I mean, can you imagine? Why would you think that someone online can't do the same as a physical shop?
Exactly. And it just shows as well, you know, like when people are behind a screen, they feel a little bit more brave to say certain things. But I can't find the comment. But somebody had commented on that saying, "And Elaine," so this customer's called Elaine, "and Elaine will be the person who orders a Christmas gift on the 20th of December and then complains and leaves a low review on Etsy because their item has not arrived in time for Christmas." And yeah. It's like, exactly. So this whole thing with, you know, shipping, it's a double-edged sword again. You know, you've got to give yourself time for stuff, and then you've got to appreciate with the seller if they want you to buy things earlier.
Definitely.
So you've got to meet in the middle. But I just thought that was really relevant, and it made me laugh because I have had many a customer who has ordered something. I think I've said it before, actually. This was not about Christmas, but I once had a customer who sent a message at, in my time, it was 20 past five in the evening, and said, "If I order this now, can I get it delivered in the morning?" And I was like, "No." I said,
I am not Amazon. Even Amazon would struggle to fill that.
Exactly. So I said, "However, if you let me know where in the world you live, if you could let me know where in the UK, because I just assumed it must be UK. If you let me know where in the UK you live, I can probably get it out to you by, let's say it was Monday, I can probably get it out to you by Wednesday with next day delivery. You know, I'd have posted on the Tuesday and then I got it by Wednesday. Oh no, I live in Miami." And I was like, I'm going to say no to that one. So, you know, shipping, some people have high expectations. I'm not one of those buyers that has high expectations, but you will get some that do. So it's fine.
That's funny.
So that was point number seven. Was there anything you wanted to add there to shipping, Lindsay?
Yeah, no, I think we probably covered that one.
That was a funny one, wasn't it?
It was.
So number eight then is the personalization box. And now obviously this isn't going to apply to every single product that is on the internet because not everything requires personalization. But as somebody who does buy a lot of custom items and who's somebody who sells custom items, I do feel that it's something that might put me off as a buyer when I get to the cart page, if it's not extremely explicit what it is that I need to write in that box to make sure that the product comes out how I need it to be. So in fact, I saw an item recently, a YouTuber had bought this necklace. And it had like lightning bolts. So it was a name and then it had lightning bolts at either side of the name. So the name of the person that the friend they were buying it for was Josie. So it was J-O-S-I with a lightning bolt at the end and a lightning bolt at the beginning. However, when the necklace arrived, it did say Josie, but then the way in which they had joined the I on to the lightning bolt made it look like it said Joseph. Yes, Joseph, J-O-S-I-F. So it didn't make it clear. Now, when the person contacted the shop and said, it looks like Joseph, not Josie, you know, I'm a bit unhappy with this purchase, which was correct. It did look like that. Then the seller said, well, that's just the way in which it prints out. And there's not really much we can do about it. Now, personally, in the customization box or in the description and then linking to the customization box, you need to have something that says if the name ends in an I, for example, it's then going to join on to the next one and it doesn't work. So, for example, with my necklaces, I know I can only fit on my heart plates, I can only fit 9 letters. So don't send me a name that has more than 9 letters because I can't do it. Rather than it coming into my order bank and then I can't do it.
Yeah.
So it was a long-winded thing, but you get my point there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, you know, and there are different ways people kind of set it up. There's some that you do have to put line by line that you want, you know, what personalization you need. You know, with me, I don't personalize my items, but I personalize labels on the gift box. So on Etsy, I tend to have it set up as a variation because I do charge more for that service than if someone doesn't have it personalized. And I, you know, I tend to ask people to put their word in the notes to seller box. And on the whole, I find that works really well. There's always an example of some wording and what it looks like, you know, on the photo. So occasionally I'll get somebody that's forgotten or they might want, sometimes they'll even ask me for a little bit of help with the wording, you know. I tend to sell a lot of christening gifts. You know, I've got some particular fairies that are quite, you know, popular for that. You know, so I've got examples of the wording of, you know, what I would put on for christening. And then, you know, that does make it so much easier, I think, for the person that's buying. Because if you're thinking, oh, well, what would I say then? But if they can see an example of, you know, what someone else has said for a christening, then, you know, that does tend to really take away all that thinking. They can just say exactly what they've seen on the example, and that's what does happen a lot of the time. They will send me through the same wording, but it will have, you know, the person's detail. You know, if I need to make the text a little bit smaller to fit in a longer name, I can do that.
And I like the fact that you, like you say, you're linking it to a photograph, because if you can look at a photograph and then get to the customization box, there's no query in your head as to what you need to do, because you've already seen it. So I like the fact that you also mentioned the line by line, you know, line one, I want this, line two, I want this, line three, I want this. Because I actually did that it's not that recent actually now, I was buying an art print with a longitude and latitude for my friend who just moved into a house. So it was the longitude and latitude of their address and then the first line of their address and then the couple's name. So if I didn't have it written down on that personalization box, on line one, we need you to write this. On line two, we need you to write this.
Yeah.
I might have got a bit confused and put the wrong things in the wrong place. And I might have just clicked off and not even bothered.
Yeah.
Might have sent a message, but I might have just thought, oh, it's too confusing, I don't know what I'm doing. So yes, the line one, line two, line three works really well. So yes, that's a good tip.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, like, if you're, you know, it's, you know, get a friend or family member just to look at it and with fresh new eyes and say, is this really simple? You know, because like I said before, sometimes we're so close to our products, we can't always see. But the more easier you make it for people, then the more likely they are to go ahead and buy.
I think that's actually really good advice. You know, getting somebody to go through this checklist as if they're the buyer and them to tell you, yes, you're doing that point. Yes, you're doing that point. Oh, actually, that might need a bit of work kind of thing.
What else would they want to know?
Exactly, yes. What do they think is missing? What might be confusing to them when they try and add it to cart or when they're looking through a description box, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good top tip there. So then number nine is the dispatch time. So we kind of touched upon this slightly with shipping, but obviously shipping is more when it's left the hands, depending on where you live, how long is it going to take to get to me? The dispatch time is from when I place the order, how long is it going to take to leave your hands? Now, for me personally, I will usually sort at the side of, because I do shop on Etsy, so I will sort on the side of the Etsy search queries for items that ship within 1 to 3 days.
Yeah.
Some people are happy to wait longer, and you know, if you're a September person buying for December, you probably are happy to wait that bit longer. But yeah, 1 to 3 days does seem to be like the sweet spot customers, but don't let that put you off and think, oh, it's going to take 2 weeks to make something, I'm never going to get sales. That's not true. I've seen people with 1 month turnaround times. In fact, they only make products once a month and they only sell at that point, and then it takes them an entire month to make a whole new group of products and they are killing it. So
yeah,
you know, it's not, that's just something that I look at. But what do you think about that?
I suppose from a buyer's perspective, yeah, I'm wanting to know, you know, because it depends if this is something, am I buying it for me and I'm happy to wait? Generally, I am. But if I'm, am I doing a bit of last minute gift shopping, then that dispatch, you know, that dispatch time is super important. I think from a seller's perspective, something I always like to do on shipping is I always say, I know it'll tell you on Etsy in particular, but I always just like to say this item is in stock and is shipped, you know, is in shipped in 1 to 3 days, because again, I'm just drawing people's attention to the fact that it's read, it's made, you know. But saying that, I have, you know, I haven't got many, I've only got one item in my shop at the moment that's made to order, that's made to order within 7 to 10 days, but it's very clear, you know. But I've still sold plenty of products that are made to order within 7 to 10 days. So you know, if you have got those things that are made to order, that can definitely work. But if you've got items in stock, I'd say go to try and get them out as soon as possible. Would you agree, Anna?
Yes, and as somebody who, you know, everything that I make is made to order, because it's all customized, it's all personalized. You know, even if it's just an item that's very simple, but the birthstone's different in each item, so, but I still try to keep my shipping times within the 1 to 3. Having said that, over the summer holidays, I had to extend it for extenuating circumstances, which if you follow me on Instagram, at some point I will have discussed what I was doing over the summer and why I had to do that. But yes, I had to extend my shipping time or my dispatch time to 7 days. And at first I saw a bit of a dip in orders, but actually now it's kind of, it's not at the same height as it would be at 1 to 3, but 7 days still seems to be an acceptable amount of time for people to wait. Yeah. Even if they're in the States. But yeah, 1 to 3 is definitely the sweet spot for Etsy. So if you sell on Etsy, just something to kind of think about. So then number 10, we've said communication. Now, as a seller, we want to be making sure as much as possible that with all points 1 to 9, we've answered all the questions so that we don't have to have communication with the buyer. Not because we don't want to talk to buyers, but at the end of the day, we are running a business and we do want to sell our items. And so having communication means we've got to wait longer, you know, for you to reply, for them to maybe reply. And then maybe they've gone off and done something and it's taken another day or so for them to get back to you and all that kind of thing. So we don't want to have communication. But if we definitely require communication with our buyers or as a buyer to our sellers, we want the communication to be as prompt as possible, which comes under the Star Seller program as well. You know, they want you to be responding within 24 hours. So again, they've noticed the importance of that. And we want you to be as polite as possible, as thorough as possible, even if the buyer has not been polite to you. Because sometimes I will get messages that are just one sentence. There's no hi, there's no thanks, there's no nothing. And I won't respond. I won't reciprocate that. I will respond with, hi, thanks so much for getting in contact. This is the information you've asked for. Warmest of wishes, Anna. I won't reciprocate the way in which they've spoken to me first. And most of the time, in fact, 9.8%, 98% of the time, the customer will say, thanks so much for the prompt reply and for being so friendly. And then when they leave me a review, they will mention my communication as being something that impressed them. So what do you think about that, Lindsay?
Well, I would definitely agree with that. And just a little mindset trick for you that, you know, if you do struggle with perhaps the way someone has messaged you and all that, I like to think of everyone as my best customer. You know, especially if they say, sometimes people will say things that will annoy you. But if you can think to yourself, this is my best customer. How would I, this person is going to spend thousands with me. How am I going to respond to that person? And it will, for me, it makes me show up in a different energy and makes me give that real response that I want to give to every person. I want to make all my customers feel special. Even like you say, Anna, if they've not necessarily, you know, the way they've communicated with you might not necessarily seem the most friendliest. If you take that approach, I think a lot of the time you get a good response.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, we're wanting to spread kindness. Sometimes somebody's having a bad day.
Yeah.
But they're still gift buying, but they've had a bad day. Yeah. And they send you something that you just think's a bit sharp. And the chances are, like I say, when you send something nice, they'll respond to you how you've just responded to them. Yeah. So they'll change their own approach around. They might even, I've had customers apologize to me and say, I'm sorry if I was a bit sharp at the beginning, because they've realized from my tone that their tone wasn't, they weren't vibing with me, and I've pulled their energy up positively.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And you were doing exactly what I talked about.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
You were treating them like they were your best customer. Doesn't matter how they approached you, you still had that same, you're my best customer response.
Yeah. So we don't want to be speaking to every buyer, but if we do, always spreading kindness. They're your best customer, like Lindsay says. Yeah. So, well, that was the 10. That was good, that was, wasn't it? I enjoyed that.
I did. I think, you know, and definitely go away and get, you know, probably people that don't know your products. If you've got a friend that doesn't know too much about what you make, you know, get them to look at your products and find those missing things. That would definitely be, you know, a bit of a key takeaway, I think, that people will find a helpful task to do. Do you agree, Anna?
Yeah, and I think what I'm going to do is, so in time for when this episode comes out, I will make a little checklist. And if you would like to get hold of that, all you'll have to do is subscribe to our newsletter, and you will get access to this 10-pointed checklist with a few little tips, so that either you can do it, or if you'd like a fresh pair of eyes from a family member or a friend, you can get them to go through it, or you can both do it. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a bit strange because technically Lindsay and I haven't actually recorded for a few weeks because it's been the summer holidays, and actually we released episode 1 of season 2 this morning, but for you guys, we'll be way down the line. In fact, we'll probably be coming up to Christmas by the time this episode is airing, which is a bit scary. But we really appreciate all of our lovely listeners. And do read through the show notes so that you can get access to those previous episodes that we've mentioned as well. They'll all be linked down there. And if you don't already, make sure you follow us over on our pages on Instagram.
And please do like and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. They're all the platforms we're on. So, you know, we'd love it if you could subscribe and leave a review. That really does make such a difference.
It really does. So have a great week, and we will speak to you all next time. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.